Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Right. Well, again, good morning. Welcome. We're going to go ahead and delve into the Word of God here. We're going to start with a passage in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And this is the Apostle Paul just kind of describing a little bit, you know, Jesus coming, the significance of his coming, what it meant, different things like that. And I love how he puts it here in Romans chapter 5. If you ever study in the book of Romans, it's almost a lawyer building a theological case for our need for salvation, why Jesus matters, how it fits into our salvation, and even goes on to give the importance of how to live successfully as a Christian too. It's quite a book, but right here, sandwiched in Romans chapter 5, I think revolves around the Christmas story in a wonderful way. The Apostle Paul says, "When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we've been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his Son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ made us friends of God." Praise God. It's a passage, again, that really, I think, summarizes, big picture, the purpose of Jesus, his coming, and what we need to remember and reflect on as far as the purpose, the reason behind Christmas and Jesus coming. Why, ultimately, he came at the right time that for us sinners. There was such purpose, such importance. And as we're looking at the Word of God, kind of reflecting, we're getting ready now. This is early December. We're kind of turning that corner, and time is going to start to speed up like it always does this year. It's like you go from December 3rd to December 25th, and it seems like 3 or 4 days. You know, I don't know how that works. But it's like you've got a lot of boxes to check between now and December 25th. And this is when we typically get in that box checking mode, and we're starting to try to make sure we got everything figured out and the presents bought and preparing for things and that we got to do, maybe Christmas parties, different things like that. And so there's just kind of tends to get naturally a little extra busy this time of year. And as I hit this time of year, I can't help but think or be reminded of that original Christmas cartoon. If you guys watch The Peanuts, the Charlie Brown Christmas, there's just a great, there's a great scene in there where it is kind of the hustle and bustle, and I think Charlie Brown's getting ready to direct the big Christmas play, and you know, everybody's kind of chaotic, going here and there, and they got to get a Christmas tree, all this stuff. And then Charlie Brown is just, at one point, just gets exasperated, you know, and says, "What is Christmas all about anyway?" or something like that. And then, of course, if you remember, if you watched it, this is like 60 years ago, but still, probably one of the favorite classics of all time. Linus says, "I'll tell you what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown." He takes center stage, and he begins to declare right out of Luke 2, you know. "That night, in the fields near Bethlehem, there were shepherds guarding their sheep. and begins to recite the Christmas story and gets it back. In the middle of all that chaos, you know, he's able to bring out and just reemphasize on purpose, intentionally, the true meaning of Christmas. And this morning, this is really what we're going to be talking about, the true meaning of Christmas. Now, you're seeing a nice little manger scene up there, and that's something we all recognize. The picture I was about to have on there, that I probably can't turn the other way and show you. If you could imagine Linus on a stage with his blinky, and the piano off to his left, and Lucy and Snoopy and all the characters looking on at him as he declares the true meaning of Christmas. That's the picture I almost had up there. I didn't want to shut ourselves online down for, you know, 90 days or something like that. But that is when I think of a picture that captures that moment in the chaos of all of our stuff and things that we have to do, that just kind of hones it in and says, okay, true meaning of Christmas. What's this all about anyway? And I find every year I got to stop and be intentional about this. And this is one of the things that I enjoy about being a pastor, is because I can, as a pastor, just kind of take a time, even as a church, and say, yeah, I know we can all probably tell the story, but knowing the story and really enjoying Christmas and reflecting and taking in Christmas is a decision that you got to make. I've had great Christmases that I can look back and it's like, man, just the sweet presence of family and maybe the carols and watching those movies and just enjoying some things. And it's like, ah, Christmas. And then you got other Christmases, it's like, wow, Christmas just went by. What happened? You know? And that's what I don't want to have happen to us, to not get run over by Christmas, but to really enjoy Christmas and really stop and reflect about the true meaning of Christmas, because it is so powerful when you stop and think about it, because that scripture we just read is, in essence, the meaning of Christmas, the true meaning of Christmas. So we're going to take a look at a few things this morning that are... If you want to see this picture after service, feel free to stop by, take a look. But we're going to be intentional about just letting Christmas soak in this morning. We're going to prepare our hearts. You know that amazing subplot of the story of the life of Jesus? You know, they're going to Bethlehem, and there's no room for them in the inn. There's no room for them in the inn. You'd think the Alpha and the Omega would have somehow made supernatural arrangements that there would have been room for them. They were the last room open in the inn. That would have said, we would have said, wow, isn't that amazing? But there was no room for them in the inn. You'd think if anybody was going to have a perfect path as they're walking out God's plan for their life, it'd be Mary and Joseph with the Son of God. And it's messy. They didn't have a room. They had to walk by faith. And they found a place that they could have a stable, a manger, something to accommodate them. But it is a powerful little allegory that we can be challenged by in the Holy Spirit with our busyness. Is there room for him in the inn, in our heart? We can get busy with stuff. And there is an important, deliberate time where we're saying, okay, I'm going to make room for him. I'm going to take time, and Christmas is going to be about him, about his love. It's going to be about what he did for me. The inn, of course, just being our heart, a place in our minds as we're reflecting this Christmas season. So as we're looking at the true meaning of Christmas, we're going to first start out by, of course, the Christmas Savior. You know, and this is what Linus recited. He said, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. That's the true meaning of Christmas. We see that there was born to you this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. So as we're thinking about Christmas and the true meaning of Christmas, of course, it's a Savior who is born to us. We get a little bit more insight into that, what that Savior means, as we look at the Matthew account. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So as we kind of put these two accounts together, we see there was born to us in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. As we look at the Matthew account, we see specifically that he will save his people from their sins. What is Christmas about? Christmas is about a Christmas Savior. It's about Jesus Christ who came to save us from our sins. Praise God. You know, when we think about Christmas, and again, it's easy, you know, especially as it kind of rolls around to New Year's, because as we're thinking about New Year's, a lot of times we're thinking New Year's resolutions. We're thinking about, okay, what have I got to clean up here? What have I got to change in my life? You know, we can almost become a little sin conscious about stuff that's got to change and things. But Christmas is a time where we're not down on ourselves. We're not critical. We're not condemning. This is a time that we open that gift. This is the first Christmas gift ever given. We unwrap it and we see that there is forgiveness. There is cleansing. That's a Savior who just washes us from our sins. Again, we can't read enough Bible to cleanse us from one sin. We can't do enough good things to cleanse us from one sin. It is Jesus Christ who saves us from our sins. He is the one. He is our Savior. So it's the time of year that we remind ourselves that this is the gift of forgiveness. This is the gift of God's love. And I think it's important to remember, too, because as we're thinking about Christmas, a lot of times you'll kind of hear that phrase come out, Jesus is the reason for the season, you know? Yeah, he is. Jesus came. He came to this world. But you got to realize, too, that when you think of Christmas and the meaning of Christmas and the Christmas Savior, you got to realize, too, that you are the reason for the season. Just as much as Jesus is the reason for the season. Jesus didn't come just to come. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. God did send his Son into the world that the world through him might be saved. Christmas is God coming for you. In other words, a Savior is meaningless unless there's someone to save. There's got to be an object for the Savior to save. Christmas is about Jesus, and it's about us sinners in a sinful condition needing a Savior. In other words, as we look up at Christmas, we remember Jesus, his love unto us is born this day. Us is born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord, that he came for us. This is an important part of Christmas. It's not just recognizing who Jesus is, but recognizing the fact that he came for us. This is why it's such an amazing introduction. You know, the angels didn't appear to the who's who in Jerusalem. They appeared to shepherds on a hillside and said, I bring good tidings, great joy for all people, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This is one of the things that we got to remember about Christmas. God so loved the world that Christmas happened. This is the love of God in action. I am saved. Jesus came to this world for me and you. Jesus did not come to this world for anyone more than he came for you. It is a profound thought that, wow, Jesus, you came here for me. You came here to die for me. You are part of this Christmas story. It's important to see our part in it. It's important to see it. You know what I mean? It's important to receive it. It's important to be intentional and to say thank you. You know, there are people that can hear that story and leave that gift unwrapped. We have to be intentional to not just see the gift of Jesus Christ, but to unwrap that gift, to open that box, to look in there and to enjoy that gift. This is part of the true meaning of Christmas. It's not just that Jesus died for my sins. Thank you, Jesus. You died for my sins. I see everything I ever did on that cross. Where my sin abounded, your grace is much more abounded. There's an intentional opening up of that gift and receiving again, praise God, that gift of salvation. The probably one of the great carols, joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart make room for him. Praise God. Let heaven and nature. You know, we sing that song, we sing those carols, but there is an intentionality. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. And so that's part of it. I think it's just being, you know, stirred up again just over the fact that God has saved us, that he loves us, that we open that gift, that we make room for him, and we just allow that gift to minister to our hearts. In other words, right now during the season, there shouldn't be anything that I'm living on top of. If I'm living on top of condemnation this Christmas season, if I'm living on top of a guilty conscience, I haven't unwrapped the gift yet. I haven't experienced the true meaning of Christmas. I might have a Christian religion, but when you experience the true meaning of Christmas, you open that gift and you let the blood of his Son cleanse you from all unrighteousness and supernaturally restore your relationship with God. Supernaturally put a smile back on your face with God again, knowing you got work to do, knowing you got stuff to overcome in your life, knowing you got things going on. But boy, when you let the true meaning of Christmas in your heart, it resets your conscience by grace through faith, and lets you live for God in a way that you can overcome the stuff in your life. And that's the great paradox of religion and relationship. Religion tries to overcome the stuff to get God's approval. Grace realizes that I've got God's approval by grace through faith, so I can live for him. Praise God. You got to get that. You got to keep that cart before that horse. You got to keep that cart of God's grace and the forgiveness of sins out ahead of your living for God so you can live for him. So unwrap that gift, I pray, this Christmas season. Receive that forgiveness, that cleansing of all unrighteousness. Not only is it the Christmas Savior that's part of the true meaning, there's a Christmas peace. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulder. Have you noticed that yet? The government is upon his shoulder. It was upon his shoulder when he first came into the earth, and it's still on his shoulder today. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Praise God. But we see that he's born. Now, yeah, the government's on his shoulder. In fact, there was a horrific event that happened several years after Jesus died. There was a slaughter of the innocents. King Herod goes after those little babies, those little boys that he was afraid were going to be a threat to his kingdom. Of course, we know that he was inspired by the enemy to try to wipe out any threat to his kingdom. You know, there was a government was on his shoulders from day one. And yet in the middle of that, he is the everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace in the middle of the government being on his shoulders. There is still the Prince of Peace. There is a Christmas peace this season that we see. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. When he broke in on the scene, he broke in with peace on earth, goodwill toward men. There was a peace, there was a presence of the peace of God that came on this earth when he came on this earth. And before he left, he said this, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." In other words, he came with the peace of God, and he left the peace of God that he came with for us. And we know the government is still on his shoulders. And because we're the body of Christ in the earth, a lot of time the government's on our shoulders because we represent him in the earth. And yet he is still the Prince of Peace. He is still the everlasting Father. You know, we think about this time of year. Of course, you can think about, typically, you know, it's kind of the hustle and bustle and you know, the busyness of the season that you can lose your peace. But I'll tell you what, there's a whole nother level of peace on earth, goodwill toward men that we need to recognize more than ever. You're seeing all kind of stuff this year of things that are not peace on earth. You're seeing demonstrations of hatred and wrath and things that really are coming against the Spirit of God. And there's all kinds of things where the enemy is infusing into the atmosphere of this world hatred and bitterness and anger that's trying to even fill the Christmas season. As surely as we need to be intentional about our Christmas Savior and the forgiveness of our sins, we got to realize that peace is still with us. That peace is still in our hearts. We can still choose to let not our heart be troubled. We can choose to let it not be afraid. You may be watching the TV sometimes. You got to make a choice. Are you going to let your heart be troubled? Are you going to let it be afraid? You don't have to. That Christmas peace that came here is still here. There's still a peace that passes our understanding. Why? Because he's the Alpha and the Omega. There's nothing new here. Yeah, there's stuff that's new to us. Yeah, we're seeing things we haven't seen before, but we're not seeing anything that he hasn't foreseen before. Anything that he hasn't foreseen and provided for before. There's nothing new here to him. And so it's important to understand that the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father, has given us amazing grace, amazing peace. In fact, there was a song that came out several years ago that as I think of it almost as like a prophetic song, especially in the days that we're living in, as we're looking at, you know, nations and all kind of things that are going on. It was an old, Rich Mullins song called "While the Nations Rage." It goes like this: "Why do the nations rage? Why do they plot and scheme? Their bullets can't stop the prayers we pray in the name of the Prince of Peace. We walk in faith and remember long ago how they killed him and then how on the third day he arose. Well, things may look bad, things may look grim, but all these things must pass except the things that are of him. Where are the nails that pierced his hands? Well, the nails have turned to rust, but behold the man. He is risen and he reigns in the hearts of the children rising up in his name. Where are the thorns that drew his blood? Well, the thorns have turned to dust, but not so the love he has given. No, it remains in the hearts of the children who will love while the nations rage. The Lord in heaven laughs. He knows what is to come. While all the chiefs of state plan their big attacks against his anointed one. The church of God, she will not bend her knees to the gods of this world, though they promise her peace. She stands her ground, stands firm on the rock. Watch their walls tumble down when she lives out his love. Where are the nails that pierced his hands? Well, the nails have turned to rust, but not so the man. He's risen. He reigns in the hearts of the children, rising up in his name. Where are the thorns that drew his blood? The thorns have turned to dust, but behold the love he's given. It remains in the hearts of the children who will love while the nations rage." We can see a raging of nations going on. And my question is this: are you raging? We're not to rage. The nations might rage, but we've got a peace that passes our understanding. We've got a peace that makes us different from the world. Praise God. There is a rage that is demonic, and it's a rage that would try to take away your peace during this Christmas time. Yeah, we pray about stuff. Yeah, we lift things up to the Lord. But we don't live in rage. We don't live in fear. We don't live in anger. The Bible says we set our mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Are we aware of things on the earth? Yeah, we pray about them. but we set our mind on things above. We live from a place of heavenly places in Christ Jesus that we've been raised up to. There is an intentionality that you got to fight for your peace this Christmas season. Don't let things rob your peace. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be afraid. Don't rage with the nations this year. Rejoice with the saints this year. Rejoice in your Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand that people who are raging need what you have? You have experienced things that are completely foreign to them. I mean, if you could take the beauty of the love and the peace and the joy and just expose people to that, it would change everything. We're called to be lights. We're called to love. We're called to shine. Will we get persecuted? Yeah. What's our command? Rejoice. Prophets before you were persecuted in the same way. Not feel sorry for yourself and have a chip on your shoulder. We were born for this time. We can do this. Remind you of a little Home Alone, while we're on the Christmas theme, a little Home Alone. This is it. Don't get scared now. We knew this was coming, but this is what we're called to. We're called to love. We're called to pray for. We're called to bless. There is no one in this world. There is no one on your television set whose sins weren't on this cross. We are not high and mighty. We're not looking down. There's no pride here. We're saved by grace through faith. And our mission is to share that message. We're not in a spirituality contest to see who can be the most spiritual. We're down here to share the love of Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what, when the nations are raging and I'm tempted to rage, this is when I realize what Jesus said. You know, his disciples fell into this trap too, right? Remember, his disciples wanted to call down fire on some people when they had to try to pass the persecution test? One of them was the great apostle of love, John, who failed that test. And what did Jesus say? No, I haven't come to destroy men's lives. I came to save them. And that's the message that we have to get reminded of too when we're tempted to rage, that we're not here as part of destroying men's lives. We're here to save them. We're here to love people. We're here to pray for people. Lord, how do I pray for them? How do I lift them up? I don't want to get played with bitterness. I don't want to get played with rage. I want to walk in the Spirit. I want to be the mysterious one. I want to be the one that you don't know what you're going to do next because you're listening and you're taking your cues from the Spirit of God. That's the people we want to be. That's the kind of hearts that we want to have. What are we doing? We're the true meaning of Christmas, man. We've got a peace on earth that he left with us. We can choose to not let our hearts be troubled, but to demonstrate that peace. Finally, there's a Christmas hope that we have in him. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. This is such a, boy, the Christmas hope that we have in him. He is God with us. In other words, he didn't just save us and leave us to our own devices. He saved us and he's with us wherever we go. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. For if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You know, when you think of all those prophetic scriptures and you go back in Isaiah and Zechariah and even the book of Genesis that prophesy about the coming of Jesus Christ, for every one of those prophecies, I forgot how many, there's several more times prophecies for the second coming of Christ. Think about how expectant they were for their Messiah. We have got such a great expectancy that he's coming again. In other words, the hope that we have in Christ is not just, You know, in other words, Jesus didn't die on the earth, die on the cross, so that we could have a forgiveness religion, right? He died on the cross so that we could be saved, so that we could be his children, so that ultimately we will live with him forever and ever and ever. The gift of eternal life means you never die. You will never lose consciousness. When your spirit leaves your body, when you're dead in the natural, you will go on in a conscious existence, born again with the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you, into a world, praise God, that's described like this: "For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared which shall be revealed in us." The Amplified. But what of that? "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time, this present life, are not worth being compared to the glory that is about to be revealed to us and in us and for us and conferred on us." Wow. In other words, yeah, we're going through some stuff now. Again, we knew this was part of it, big picture. But we know how this story ends. And at the end of this story, the stuff that we're going through now won't be here. I like that part in the song where he says, you know, things may look bad, things may look grim, but all these things must pass except the things that are of him. These things won't even exist. The Bible talks about the way of the ungodly shall perish. The way of the ungodly shall perish. It won't even exist anymore. What's going to exist when it's all said and done? The effects of sin will be gone, and there will be a glorified state where God has that full eternal redemption. Praise God. And like we said, eternity is not you in heaven forever and ever. Eternity is you in heaven for a little while, but eternity is actually you on earth forever and ever, on a physical glorified earth in a physical glorified body. God created a physical earth. He put man in the garden. He fell. Redemption is man coming back to this earth with the new Jerusalem on a glorified earth, glorified bodies, and we're going to be living in a new earth, in a new body, forever and ever and ever. There's a hope that we have in him. The Christmas hope is beyond the here and now. It is eternal. It's an eternal hope that we have with him forever and ever. And I'm so glad, praise God, that I know him. I'm so glad in these days that we're living in that we can see through it. And this is why Christmas is such an important time of the year too. We remember our Savior. We remember the gift that he gave us, but we also remember the fullness, the hope, what this represents. Let this be a time. You know how communion is a time? Every month we kind of get together and we do the juice, we do the bread. What is that? It stirs us up to remember this, right? Remember the cross. Let Christmas be a time, kind of like a communion service. Let it be a time that it stirs you up to realize, okay, the first Christmas gift ever given was Jesus Christ. And he was given to all of us. It's important to unwrap that fresh and anew. Unwrap it with fresh eyes. Give yourself permission to enjoy Christmas. Enjoy the carols, the old movies that bless you, the lights. Let them soak in. Enjoy them. Don't let sin consciousness, don't let anything rob you of that. Are you working through stuff? We all are. Open up that gift. Receive grace. Receive forgiveness. Walk in fellowship with God. Jesus died on that cross so that we could walk with him and walk in fellowship with him. Be stirred up. Praise God in the true meaning of Christmas this year. Father, we thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ, for Christmas, for what it means. We just pray right now that each one of us in our own hearts, in our own way, oh, will just allow the precious presence of your Spirit to encourage us, to restore us, to just stir us up that we are the reason that he gave his life. We are the reason he suffered and died. To a world that was lost, he gave all he could give. Hallelujah. Jesus, we thank you that we are part of this Christmas story, that you didn't just come, but that you came for us, that you weren't just born, but that unto us you were born. We see it. Praise God. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ. I unwrap that gift now. Within that box, there is mercy and grace. With my name on it, I take that out. I let it wash over me to wash away all sin, to do what I can't do. I give you thanks for this gift. I hold it close to my heart. I hold your peace in my heart. I refuse to rage this year. I will remember this year that I am saved because of grace. Use me to shine that love, not to call down fire, but to shine forth your love. Thank you for the hope that I have with you, that I am with you for all time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, receive that this morning. You know, there's just a fresh stirring up that we got to do, that we have to be intentional. As you see the lights, as you see the manger scenes that you'll see, let your heart go there. You know, I mean, it is, I know, a busy time, and it is easy to kind of gloss over, but be intentional and just let those scenes minister to you. See a scene like that, think, man, unto me. Yeah, there's a big commercial, there's big Christmas, but what does it mean? It means unto me, unto you, this child was born to save us from our sins. Are we letting him do that? Let him do that. Let him minister that to your heart, to your spirit this year. Amen. Praise God.